that has big time camp. What the movie will be the ultimate champ. You might be finger crazy, my finger diseased, but do you watch another chance to find the best of this?
We rate each movie in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality.
It's Stan, Gene, Jack and Nick who watch it till it's finished, because the love for this movie can be diminished. And make the film's plot has no rhyme or reason, but that's a part of charm.
Colin Brad is off the season.
It's low budget film that is most true. They find a flick that monster boogaloo.
Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Yogmala! Yogmala! Welcome back, my friends, to season 9 of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, If You Show Me Yours. Okay, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and I am super happy to be with you today to talk about the movie Skidoo. And I am joined to talk about Skidoo by my good friends. And today we're going to start with Nick Boxer.
Damn it.
You were probably ready this time, weren't you, Jack?
Yeah.
All right. Well, too bad.
Peace, groovy cats.
Oh,
yeah. I am looking forward to encountering your energies about this film.
Groovy, brother. All right, moving on. We got James Cotta.
I'm digging nothing, man.
Digging nothing.
Can you dig nothing?
Oh.
If you can't dig nothing, you can't dig anything.
That's right. It's true. I dig nothing. I think like when everything happens, then nothing happens. You know what I'm saying?
I like this movie.
Yeah. All right. And then now we got Jack Hall. And when you talk about nothing, Jack Hall.
So
and moving on to the movie.
Speaking of which, because you keep on calling me, if you show me yours, Jim, it's your season there. Isn't it just show me yours? Doesn't he give it every time?
I've honestly lost track.
I'm just going by the document he created.
I'm willing to take whichever one shows up the most times. I think workshop this.
Let's just do it right now.
Focus groups. We can start. Can you still do the polls on the Instagram? We'll do that. It's the best title for the season.
Yeah, that's a good choice. We'll figure it out by the time the season's wrapped. All right.
Show me mine,
Nick. Tell us about Skidoo.
I'd love to. Skidoo. A film for made about hippies by people who have never met a hippie.
Hardly true.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a bizarre piece of work.
Starring all of your parents.
this film's structure, if you can call it that, is sort of what if hippies got involved in some sort of mob conspiracy thing, and Carol Channing and Ralph why can I only remember his name from a damn TV show?
Jackie
Gleason starred. I mean, what the fuck is this? The story, if you can call it that, is a mob boss is commissioned a hit by the mob, which is run by Groucho Marx, who calls himself God. And hippies flow in and out of this story, seemingly having basically no effect, other than Jackie Gleason, for some reason, decides not to kill people after an acid hit.
Wait, he's not killing anybody. He's going to kiss him.
Yeah, Right.
Yeah. I thought that was symbolism, but okay. You know, that was code. Their mob code word for kill, but
what?
Dude,
I got to reevaluate what I thought of this movie now.
That explains a whole lot.
You know what? The plot isn't really all that important to this film.
No, I wouldn't get bogged down in that.
No, it just sort of makes fun of hippies and makes jokes like from aging Hollywood has-beens. I don't think the filmmakers knew what this was. I don't know what to make of this movie. It is a movie. It has the proper length.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's what I can say about this.
Is that
the most incomprehensible explanation
of a movie? I think you might as well ask to explain Batman Forever.
I think it's pretty astounding that your summary of Tales of the Quaddead Zone was more succinct.
You guys are welcome to do it for me because I don't know what. I don't know what they're trying for.
This is your movie. You're the one who must have seen it twice. That means you do it.
Yes, I have seen it twice. That's so lucky of me. Well, I mean, he's so yeah. Like there is hippies. It's a big whole counterculture thing of the hippies. But yes, he's not wrong in that an old hitman gets called back by the mob boss. To do a kiss, has to break into prison to perform the kiss. Along the way, you know, LSD.
Not just prison. He has to break into Alcatraz.
That's right, Alcatraz, which is even better. And then along the way, LSD gets involved and prison riots of LSD and.
Well, his wife and daughter are concerned that A, he's either in prison, or B, that he's being called back to the mob lifestyle.
We haven't even got to their story, which of course is the one because his daughter is encountering hippies and, you know, seems to be getting into that hippie lifestyle. So then she kind of is like the Pied Piper of hippies along the way and winds up bringing a whole bunch of them along on this merry romp through,
the hippies are kind of like your MacGuffin though. Like they really have. They show up, they seem like they're going to kick off the plot, and then they have nothing to do with the actual story. It's just the actual story is only like 45 minutes, so they fill it in with this hippie stuff that goes nowhere.
Well, it feels like they really wanted to make a movie that was a counterculture movie, but then they had this plot, you know, as you say, that was about 45 minutes, and then it's just like, hey, I bet you we could just take this random old gangster plot and jam it in and make it a hippie movie and then throw in a whole bunch of counterculture and drug references and hippie references and stuff like that. And yeah, I mean, they did.
It is sort of the chocolate and peanut butter of movies if chocolate and peanut butter did not go together at all.
Hippies and gangsters, yeah.
Yeah.
You got your hippies in my gangster movie. You got your gangsters in my hippie movie.
Oh, don't do that again. Yeah, I mean, everything happens in this movie. And that's just no, and that's not a lie. Like, there's not a...
After the first 20 minutes, the hippies don't show up for most of the movie again until the end.
Pretty much gone, yeah.
Yeah, but then they're quite important in their own way to the end because there's that ridiculously wonderful scene where the one hippie is on God's boat and he has to, like, secretly send them code.
God, of course, is the name of the mob boss. That needs to be...
Yep.
People need to understand the mob boss played by the great Groucho Marx. In his last film role, 78 years old at the time, being forced by Otto Preminger to put back on his grease paint and his mustache and then abused on the set by him. And Jackie Gleason threatened him, don't try and abuse me. I'll beat the hell out of you. Anyways.
They didn't have a damn scene. When would they have met in this film?
I didn't say they did.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
you had a misplaced adjective that, or modifier there. I think you, Jackie Gleason threatened Otto Preminger hassled Groucho. That's the map there.
Jackie Gleason heard about who hassled who. Yeah, heard about the abuse and threatened him. Don't try that same shit with me. But yeah, no, Otto Preminger, world class asshole.
And there's a musical number. Most of the film takes place on acid, clearly written by people who never took acid.
Oh yeah. Oh God. Yeah, for sure. I mean, the only thing that I would suggest that they got right about that was the fact that it's like, okay, open your mind. If you want to have a good trip, then you're going to have a good trip. If you go the other way, you're going to have a bad trip. That's pretty close.
Otto Preminger did drop acid in order to prepare for this film. Okay, so he did try it, and the other person who tried it to prepare for the film was Groucho Marx. and your hippie dialogue was written by an uncredited Rob Reiner, who was fired and hired every single day at least once on the set by Preminger.
That's awesome.
But one of five writers on the movie. Just people coming in. There's a script here. This person's just like, get some jokes going. This script thing isn't funny. And just like, that's why it's such a mess.
Well, this movie reminds me a lot of The Monkey's Head.
That does make sense, yeah.
Just an enormous amount of shit goes on. But the thing is that unlike Head, like Head gave itself over to being absolutely ridiculously over the top, like an acid trip. This one was never comfortable giving itself over to being an acid trip movie. And so it constantly wanted to keep that one foot in like actual grounded, like establishment reality, you know?
Well, I mean, the worst scene with the great Jackie Gleason probably is the scene where he trips. Most of this is like, the film may not be good, but he's good until he has to do that. And then that scene, which goes on way too long, is just, he could not pull that off.
Yeah, I mean, this movie, I know why I decided to see the movie. It's a weird movie with no real purpose. Like, you think it has a purpose. Like, right off the bat, you think that it has this purpose. Because when they're doing the flipping of the TV, all the different channels, and you're getting the different ads, and then you're flipping back and forth with Peter Lawford, which is the part that Carol Channing wants to watch. But and you're getting this real, like, anti-TV kind of consumerism bit, and you think, yeah, oh, okay, this is where this movie is going to go. And then from that moment on, you forget about that, and you're into the actual regular story.
But all of that was done because Otto Preminger hated how his movies would be cut up for TV, was so that Carol Channing could say the line, "I don't watch movies on TV because I don't want to see them cut up."
Yeah.
That was the whole reason why that took place.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, it approaches a metaphor, and then you find out that it was really just a jab.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I wonder what this movie would have been like if Rob Reiner had actually made it, as opposed to Otto Preminger, because Otto Preminger, it was probably the worst choice that could make this movie ultimately.
Well, see, the thing about this film is it's incredibly odd, but does that make it Boogaloo? Like, is being odd the same as being Boogaloo? And that's where I struggle with this one. I'm like, I know it's odd, but I don't know. Did you guys hear that? Sorry about that.
No worries. Your oven's ready. That's
yeah, basically.
Your Pop-Tarts are cooked.
The odds that I would be the one talking when my dryer went off, but because I haven't muted the rest of the time. I cannot determine if it's Boogaloo or if it's just strange.
There's no question about it. It is absolutely strange. But if nothing else, the thing that I absolutely love about this movie is the fact that there's so many people in it. Like, when you talk about Jackie Gleason and Carol Channing, and I think Carol Channing is amazing in this movie. Like, she just, every time she's on the screen, she just chews up scenery. And when you got Jackie Gleason around, then you know, you got to work hard to chew up scenery. But I mean,
and Carol Channing, sexy, sexy lady.
Oh yeah. But I mean,
yeah, that's what I was thinking. You don't know it's Boogaloo yet. It has Carol Channing in a bra.
Yeah. That seems spooky. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Carol Channing.
Not to mention the title doesn't make any damn sense. Is Skidoo a hippie word? I've never heard it before.
Skidoo means like get out of there, like get out of there while the getting is good. Basically, in hippie, you know, slang at the time, get out while the getting is good. What that has to do is with the movie or the song? I have no clue.
Well, they did not get out. Well, the getting was good in this movie, because otherwise they probably wouldn't have made it. But
yeah, but that's what it is. So at the end, the Carol Channing, like I said, I love Carol Channing. She's the great. I don't think she's at all. I think she's trying with material that's not at all funny, and she can't make it work. But she's. I mean, hello, Jolly. Yeah, Jolly. I mean, I love Carol Channing. She's just the best.
But I mean, I love the fact that this has. I love the fact that this has Frank Gorshin and Burgess Meredith and Cesar Romero. You know, I mean, you got the Batman 66 crew here. You've got, I mean, Frankie Avalon, Peter Lawford, George Raft.
The cast is incredible.
It's like Mickey Rooney.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of people that wander through this movie. And Frank Gorshin has my, like, the big laugh of the movie for me. In a scene that precedes Goodfellas, where they're in the prison and Frank Gorshin says that there's cameras, they can watch, they've got lip readers watching us. So he starts telling everything without moving his teeth at all. To talk like this.
And only Frank Gorshin can do that. Like, if anybody else tried, they would fail miserably. But Frank Gorshin.
He just sold it, yeah. He's just so intent with his look, yeah.
I go as far as the prison scenes outside of the weird acid trip thing are the best things in this movie.
It's good stuff. I mean, I love that it was Alcatraz. I've done the tour a couple of times. I love Alcatraz. And and it's Escape to Alcatraz. You never see that.
And Richard Kiel is his sidekick. How great
Richard
is that?
Kiel, another one. Yeah, I mean, they got so many. Yeah, it's that's when I'm watching it, I'm going, it feels like it's trying to be Mad World, like with that.
Yeah, I thought that
cast,
too. Yeah.
Right? Like that's what it is. But without it's, I mean, not 1/100th the movie.
No, for sure. But
it is.
That's like, makes it so freaking weird is the fact
Slim Pickens. This is like around the time that he had starred in How I Learned Stop and Into Strangelove. And he's barely like it took two scenes before I even knew it was him, because he's got his face hidden for most of it.
Yeah, and you got Harry Nilsson doing the music and also, you know, playing a guard in the movie. Like, it's just it's totally completely unique. If nothing else, once again, we've actually managed to watch a movie that's nothing like what we've seen so far.
Yeah, I mean, yes, it was hard for me to actually pick movies out this season, but so I don't know if how Boogaloo Skidoo is, but goddamn, it's unique.
It's very unique.
We'll never watch another movie like this one. That's for sure.
And are we ready here?
Yeah,
sure. I was going to say something else. I'm like,
you can't explain the plot any more than we have, because it's weird.
That's the best we can do. Yeah. All right. In our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate every film in how many categories, Jack?
Five
categories is the right answer. Five categories, none of which are subjective quality.
Notice how I had to think about it.
It's less.
Next time, I'll ask you how many are objective quality. You'll know that one.
Less than a bread box.
The first category is called Schlock Appeal, and we start with Stan.
Is it schlocky? I don't know. I consider it schlocky because it has a lot of moments that I consider kind of schlocky, and that the fact that it's made by people that really have no right making it, and there's some terrible filming decisions in here, But it has a whole bunch of names that you wouldn't expect in a movie like this. So I'm going to give it a 7.
Wow. I went the opposite way. I'm giving it a 2. This was supposed to be, from what I can gather, a prestige picture. It has brand name actors. It has Otto Preminger. I mean, this guy was like the creme de the creme. And it's a mess, and I can't give it schlock points on being a mess. But they were trying something. So, yeah, 2. Not high on the schlock. It's going to go up rapidly, though.
So it's 1968, and it's like, I think the schlock that I see is that, for me, is that it's not huge. Like I say, it is a big budget movie and blah, blah. But I think that this movie for 1968 was probably pretty, especially for a movie with mainstream actors, was probably pretty raunchy. Actually, like, you know, all the drugs and a little bit of nudity and side nudity and teasing nudity and just kind of sexual references and all this and that. I kind of feel like it's probably like this is probably a hard R for 1968, you know. So that's kind of where I would give it some, but it's still not huge. I'd give it a 4.
I'll go a little bit higher to a 5, and that's really based on you throw that amount of names, and I mean the amount of these names that we know as well. Like when you list off like even people that are in ridiculously small parts in this movie that aren't even really cameos because they don't draw attention to them being in it either. I think and you know, hippies and gangsters, that's a decent pitch. So 5 for me. More heart than budget.
I mean, honestly, with all the people in this, the way this was made, there is absolutely no heart whatsoever in this movie. I would give it a 0.
Nice.
Yeah, I said it was going up from the first one, but it's not. It's going down. Wow, I'm giving it a 1. I don't know why anyone showed up to the filming. Nobody seems terribly interested in anything going on in this movie. Other than a paycheck, maybe. I'm assuming they paid these people. But there is no reason for this.
Otto Preminger was known to pay people even when they didn't get their credits. So I can actually say that. That was actually something that's a well-known fact about this movie. There's a lot of people who didn't get credits who were behind the scenes who were actually paid.
Nice.
Yeah, I can't come up with a reason this movie exists, though. So, yeah, 1.
See, Otto Preminger, the thought was, and some people still agree with, is that he had a surprisingly daft touch with the youth counterculture of the time. That's kind of his reputation.
A daft touch or a deft touch? I mean, a daft would be perhaps believable.
Did I say daft? Yeah.
It's a Freudian slip right there.
Freudian slip right there. But I mean, I think there's no doubt he wanted to make a great movie. He was trying his best. He just got in over his head, and too much was going on, and something just went wrong. Everybody's allowed to make a mistake or have a miss, and he's still a legendary filmmaker, if a world class a-hole. So I'm going to give it a 5.
5 for the American judge, and I'll come in with a 1 as well. It's good. It's a good sales pitch, but I'll give it a 1. What the fuck moments?
What the fuck moments? Well, okay, now so there. This movie is kind of broken down into like several different what the fuck moments parts. So when you have that early scene, we're going through all the commercials. There's a few things that I just noted, which I thought were kind of fun. For family fun, get your gun. And and then there was a great commercial that had kids and a dog smoking. That was very funny. And then the fat cola commercial, which you could absolutely not get away with. Not that you could get away with any of it, but you really, yeah,
that was
really
a different time for sure.
Get away with that. And
Never lose your man if you drink fat cola.
You know, there's of course, you know, Carol Channing being was kind of crazy, but like I'll really comment. Now, the thing that drew me into this movie and the reason that that I wound up seeing it was somebody, one of my friends, said, so there's a movie with dancing garbage cans. And so I was just like, oh, dancing garbage cans. And it happened to be on TV that same week. So I was just like, well, obviously I have to see this movie. And that dancing garbage can musical number is extremely what the fuck. And I mean, even though it's part of an LSD moment, it stands out as being bad wrong in that LSD moment. And then part of that same thing, and I'll give this a shout out for the fact that we have managed to now have two naked football scenes
I enjoyed this one less.
Boogaloo.
Yeah, the huddle wasn't nearly as good.
Yeah. The naked Captain. Green Bay Packers and not the same as the naked Hawks girls.
Yeah, so I dare you to put that one in the write-up there, Jim. So overall, I mean, I thought, like, when they occurred, they did stand out pretty good for me. And the whole thing's a disaster area. So it's kind of a minefield of that. And even the very epilogue, or like the credit scene being sung by Nelson, like incredibly Nelson, incredibly crazy boogaloo wackadoodle. So I'm going to give it an 8.
Being as I didn't understand your answer, what category is this?
What the fuck?
What the fuck moments?
Oh, what the fuck? Yeah, I'm going high on this one. 9. I mean, come on. I mean, you Carol Channing with a nude scene.
Not a Jackie nude Gleason. Scene.
Okay. Just a risque scene. Yeah.
A risque scene for no apparent reason. A song that made the Skidoo alone was what the fuck.
In her underwear, I suppose.
Carol Channing coming on to Frankie Avalon.
Oh, yeah.
That's a weird thing to pitch.
the dancing cans, God being a mob boss that lives on a boat and is a germaphobe, mixed in with hippies that don't ring true at all. They try to pack so freaking much in this, and none of it works. They couldn't hit a broadside of the barn with this. I mean, wow, there is so much that just doesn't make sense. So did I give a score?
You gave a 9.
9, yeah, 9. Yeah, right. No.
That was the right score?
Yeah. It was either a 9 or 8. I didn't want to go full tilt, but it's up there.
All right. Well, I'm not as high as you guys, but I mean, the Nielsen singing credits part is one of the most wonderfully WTF at the same time, wonderfully terrible, wonderfully wonderful, wonderfully memorable. Sometimes you laugh. Sometimes you're just like, this is awful. And it's going on forever. There's only one other film, and it was a Spanish film where the credits are sung the whole way through. I mean, he literally sings like everybody, like no matter how small a role they played, if they had a credit, he sung their name. And it just goes on forever. It's so strange and surreal. The other one, the other one for me is probably just the fact that knowing that this was John Wayne's boat that they filmed the boat scenes on.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
Gives it a little extra, even though it isn't part of the movie. But I'm not as high as you guys on this. I'm only going with 4. I will say, yeah, no, 4.
I had I think my big ones were the same. The Living in a Garbage Can was the name of the song and dance. It's not just a song. It's a song and dance in garbage cans.
It's true. I mean,
which something. It's lovely. I think so Jackie Gleason gets to prison. He's got two cellmates in prison. And one of them is the brains of the operation who's been kind of put in the cell with Gleason so they can achieve their goal of killing off Mickey Rooney. Give him a kiss. Give Mickey Rooney a kiss.
Because Jackie Gleason was his best friend.
Yeah. Jackie Gleason's the only one that can get close enough. Mickey Rooney has given up states and is trying to he's given up evidence and he's trying to take over the syndicate by getting everyone else busted. So they're going to send in Jackie Gleason, who's his best friend. He's the only one that probably get close. The plan's terrible. So the I can't remember what they call the bright guy out of the cellmates.
The professor.
The professor. He's got a box of paper, of notepaper. And he has soaked the paper in acid, which is how all of the entire prison, including all the guards and all the inmates, get on acid later for the whole third act. But all I could think is, you're going to prison. Is this a place where a shit ton of acid is the best plan for how to spend your days? Like, I can't see that working out for you. I don't know if a head full of acid is what you need when you're in Alcatraz.
But at the same time,
I want something a bit more zone out than LSD.
I love the fact that even though he was able to, like, they put him into prison, but he was allowed to keep his counterculture poster and his acid-soaked notepaper.
it's a pretty permissible prison, honestly. Yeah, for everything you heard about Alcatraz, it's actually pretty progressive.
They did make him cut his hair.
Oh, that's right. They did shave offset. And then the big escape is that they build a hot air balloon. This was not their plan. This is a plan they improvise, which does leave me wondering how Jack Gleason was supposed to get out of the prison to begin with. But because there just seemed to be no other plan. They make a hot air balloon that is only big enough. It turns out it could only carry two with them. It carries the professor and Jack Gleason. The other cellmate is a rapist. It occurs to me that, like, you know, it gets to that point and then I have this moment of uncomfortableness and like, oh, well, he can't get into the balloon. It's probably best you left the rapist in prison.
They are making a lot of jokes about the rapist.
Yeah.
Him trying to become a better rapist and things.
Like, yeah. Because they talk about how acid can knock you off. It can, like, help you fix bad parts of your personality, and he says, oh, maybe I won't have to rape all the time then.
Well, I was confused by that point because I actually thought they were hinting that they actually cure him with LSD of the rape compulsion.
I think it was probably a good plan to not to just close that one off.
That was uncomfortable. There's at least three jokes about him raping.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably more than you should have.
My limit is two.
However many is the right number, that was too many. So even plot wise, there's some really what the fucks as well as just structurally. So seven for me. Memorable moments, Dan.
You know, the garbage cans, the dancing garbage can stands out, but it's more what the fuck. For me, the memorable moment, and I'm going high on this one, because from the moment that I saw this, whenever it was, probably about 10 years ago originally, I can tell you in that 10 years, I will just randomly pop up with skidoo, skidoo. The only thing that matters is with who. You know,
I couldn't believe how this was an earworm for me. Oh, having heard it once and 3 days later, I was singing it. I couldn't believe it.
Yes, yes. The song has stuck with me and will never, ever leave. Like, I will be able to sing the chorus of skidoo when I'm like 98. And I'll still be like, skidoo, you know. So I'm giving it a seven just straight on the fact that the song is that much of a memorable moment. Nice.
Nine. I am not confusing this film with anything else I've ever seen in my life. The closest would probably be a Matt Helm film, and
it has moments. You know what? It does have moments. The Freddie Avalon is very much like Matt Helm in that regard.
But still, I mean, it is far enough away. that, no, I'm not getting confused. I mean, wow. This one's sticking with me. I mean, just the sheer talent involved. I mean, I kind of want to go back and watch it right now, but at the same time, I don't want to be bored for that long.
I want to watch parts of it again, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like to be bored for more 15, 20 minutes at a time.
Yeah, I think watch this in installments.
Yeah, this is definitely a peanut butter film.
With chocolate, if they don't go together?
I shouldn't podcast on an empty stomach, what can I say?
Every metaphor is a sandwich metaphor. Good Lord. If a movie was a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, this movie would be more bacon than lettuce.
See, I view this as a club score? Sandwich because then you get that
third layer. He gave it a 9. He started with the number. Yeah.
Okay, so for me, there's three things about this that are memorable. Number one, the fact just that it's so crazy to see Cesar Romero, Burgess Meredith, Frank Gorshin, and even Otto Preminger, who played Mr. Freeze in the same movie. Like, that to me is memorable, just kind of as a fan of the 1966 Batman. So that to me is one thing. There's two lines that really stuck with me. One of them is that the two guards are looking at the balloon, and they're blowing up the balloon, and you're watching them blow up from the bottom the balloon and watching it spread and get wider and wider. And one says, and it's a yellow balloon, bright yellow. And he goes, one guy goes, that reminds me of something. And he goes, what, eggs? He goes, no, my wife. And I don't know why. That to me was just hilarious because you could see these spreading and it looked kind of, and that was pretty much it. The other one you can't even mention in this day and age, but the daughter is with the hippie character. And Jackie Gleason, the great Jackie Gleason, assumes that the hippie wants to get with her sexually. And she says, no, he doesn't want that. And he says, I know what he wants. And she goes, I don't think he knows what he wants. And then Jackie Gleason questions his sexuality in a way that was hilarious, but completely politically incorrect in 2019. So
it was a different time. I say that a lot in this show.
I that really caught me off guard, but I laughed so hard I couldn't help it. So I'm gonna give it a 6. I think it's got some good memorable moments, but not the most memorable film I think that I've seen in the course of this, what do you call it again, podcast.
Podcast, you say.
I think the song will stick with me, and I'm a big fan of the Marx Brothers, and I had some butterflies when I realized that I was watching a scene, even though they're not on frame, they're not on screen together. But there's a scene where Groucho Marx is talking on the phone to Mickey Rooney about Jackie Gleason. as you say, this was like Groucho's last movie, so this is like this snapshot of the end of that era of Hollywood. So that like the Groucho bits alone were worth the price of admission for me. So 8 out of this for me. Crazy concepts are last category.
Well, crazy concept, I mean, it's I mean, we can't explain it. The fact that the fact that you decided to take this, you know, gangster movie and you decided to add hippies to it, that you decided to perhaps attempt some sort of counterculture lifestyle satire and LSD thing, and then the fact that you decided that Jackie Gleason and Carol Channing were going to be your leads. It's like there's just so much, because as you said earlier, it's a mad world meets hippies, but it goes horribly wrong. So for me, I'm going to give it a 9.
Considering I've now watched this film in its entirety, and I don't know what the concept is, I'm going with a 9. I don't know what they were trying. I know it didn't work.
Interesting.
I know I was entertained by it in some instances.
Yeah, I see. I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, I can't tell if it's crazy because the concept is crazy, or it's crazy because it's a mess of and bad filmmaking made it crazy, which is not a good sign. So I'm going to split the middle and go with a 5.
I'm going to go right down the middle of everyone. I think a weird pitch is we want to make a movie about acid culture and hippies. It stars Jackie Gleason. Is a weird ass pitch. That's a strange place to start. So I'll give this a 7 for that. All right, that brings us to the end of the regular scoring. And each season we have 6 secret modifiers. This film does get 1. It knocks itself down a point because it is over the magic 95 minutes. It is 98. And that gives us a final total of 55.5 out of 100, which puts it between Son of Kong and Dracula AD 1972.
I thought we didn't do 0.5s.
We don't do 0.5s in the regular scoring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, how much math do you want right now?
Let's get to what we're really here for.
Okay, we got to do business first. Jesus, man. I know you're always itching to get to the seasons, but like, come on, hey, business first.
A little bit of business to handle.
Yes. Okay. Yes, man. Yeah. I mean, because we got to tell the people that next up is my other movie choice, which is The Incredibly Strange Creatures Who Stopped Living and Became Mixed Up Zombies. So, I don't know. I don't know what anybody's going to think of that one either.
Just say that title. It's got 2 exclamation marks and a question mark. I want you to sell. By next episode, figure out how to enunciate that sentence.
Zombies?
It's got 2 exclamation marks and a question mark.
Yeah, that's right. So it should be quite interesting in doing that. You know, and just seeing it again should also be quite interesting. You know?
Can we watch that right now and record again tonight? That sounds awesome.
There's no question. I mean, the title by itself is a selling point. Absolutely.
But move the titles, it's up there.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, Jim, do the business because Jack is going to, like, you know, spooge all over the freaking screen at this point.
All right.
How'd you know?
You should visit our podcast sponsors, WeTalkPodcasts.com, and they are also on Facebook and Twitter. So follow them there, and they keep you up to date and everything we're up to. We are ourselves on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. So, and you should subscribe everywhere. Just like download and listen to the episode over and over on various podcast suppliers and on YouTube.
I assumed they already did.
Yeah.
Twice.
I try to start them all at once so you get like a Quadrophenia kind of effect from our voices.
Ooh, yeah. That'd be something, all right.
Yeah, I would try that.
Okay. Well. All right, now that we've done that, let's get on with it. Let's figure out what the hell we're doing.
Skidoo.
All right, get out the generator.
Yep.
Let's make the pitch for next season.
I forgot about the generator. Oh my god!
How could you? How dare you?
How dare you? Oh, it's I'm out of practice. I only do this twice a season. That I got to get the generator going.
Well, while the generator's warming up, Jim, why don't you explain to our audience what the hell we're doing? Because I don't know either.
Oh yeah. it's time to pitch the seasons.
Oh, sorry, Jim, I'm sorry. I threw to you. I meant to throw to Stan. Jim,
I'm coming
warm
up
the generator.
I don't know what's
Stan, explain the hell what's going on.
All right. Well,
you've overestimated how much time I needed to get the generator going.
Well, the generator is going to tell us which order we're going to pitch our seasons in. And then, of course, afterwards, we're going to vote on those seasons. And then we're going to magically come up with another piece of shit like this one. And then it's going to be great. It's going to give us a whole bunch of weird movies that we're going to talk about.
It's pretty damn accurate right there.
Is the generator ready, or do I need to keep going?
I need to hit generate.
Generate.
First number is 1, Stan.
Stan, whoa, that's a first. I have never, ever gone first. No, and I have, see, I made a whole bunch of notes about which various seasons that I thought.
Yeah, performance anxiety that happens to every guy.
Yeah, exactly. So I just thought, oh, and now that I have like five, I'm like, oh no, I wasn't ready for first, you know.
That's, never happens to me.
Well, I mean, that's because you know your hand really well, so it's okay.
We're comfortable with each other.
Hand's very, very patient. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your fleshlight's very understanding. Give you all kinds of time.
All right. I'm gonna go. So last night I stumbled upon a movie that was incredibly Boogaloo, and I thought, wow, I really need to try to find a way to watch this movie. And so for me, I think I'm gonna. That means that it's gonna push it into top slot for my choices. So I am going to pitch. Do you believe in magic? And I would like to see a Boogaloo season where every movie that we do has a magic in some way, shape, or form. Whether that's like old magic, whether that's like just like, you know, magic, or just or whatever kind of magic you like, visual magic, but magic no less.
Solid start. All right, Jim Raid.
The Jim Raider needs a sound effect.
You say that every time. I think it's you saying the Jim Raider needs a sound effect.
Can we just do one? Yeah. I could just make one.
Yeah. You know, something like the Jeopardy theme when the little box is going around.
Yeah. I have Jim Raided Nick.
Okay, you're going to have to hang me with me because this one's kind of meta. Now,
I'm ready.
Around this podcast, we have had a patron saint that has gone so far gone probably unmentioned on air. Jim Candy, Dr. Tongue. We're always like, how would this fit into Dr. Tongue's vision or really get the spirit of Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo? So what I propose is a tribute season to John Candy, and in true Electric Boogaloo fashion, feature films that do not star Jim Candy, but is named after a film Jim Candy appears in. I propose an elongated season called Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, in which we all pick three films, one with planes, one with trains, and one with automobiles.
Three films? We can't do three films in a season.
There are no rules.
Yes, there are.
there are no rules, except maybe that one rule.
We typically do. we typically do say that we'll hold a vote. I will not vote to extend the season.
Well, let's before we say anything,
all right, yeah.
Remember that you can vote against things.
That's, yeah.
You know, right. you don't have to veto an idea that you can just vote against. All right. Jim Raid. No. Hey, Jack.
Hey, yo.
Accidentally Jim Raided these in numerical order.
Wonderful.
Jim,
I guess that's there's only 16 options, so I guess that's going to come up.
sure glad you Jim Raided.
Yeah. Let's go with something a little bit different. And you guys might not like it for that reason, but I'm looking at something exactly. Great salesman here. No, but I'm just thinking to myself, you know what would be a lot of fun would be to come at it instead of looking for movies that are like, hey, that's your obvious Boogaloo movie. I'd like to look at movies and say, that movie is Boogaloo, but I don't normally, people don't think of it that way. I'd like us each to bring two movies that we know are Boogaloo or feel could be Boogaloo. And so when we watch them, we would watch them for the first time. And unlike most people, under a Boogaloo lens, giving it a completely fresh, whether we've seen it before or we haven't, a completely fresh perspective on that movie, movies that are not Boogaloo obvious, movies that are not known Boogaloo movies, but that as a matter of fact are truly Boogaloo and will score well. I call it, Did You Not Know It Was Boogaloo?
What a secret.
Okay, Secret Boogaloo.
Secret Boogaloo. All right, are you going to Jim rate number four? Is that what it is? Well,
the way it's going, it'll say one, 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 two, one, and then finally four. All right, now it's me. Just read my own name down here. I'm just keeping track. Yeah, it's,
you wouldn't want to forget.
No, God, no. My pitch is we're starting to get into cold weather here in the northern North America. If you're kind of as close to the Canadian border as I am, it's starting to get it's readily fall now. And I think it's time to get away from that. By the time we get to the next season, we'll be well into snow time. And I think it's time to celebrate Beach Blanket Boogaloo. Movies that take place on a beach. Any movie that takes place on a beach.
It's a lot. You're just so desperate to get the sand in there. everything.
Like, how obvious is this?
But it's been a while since we had a lot of films with boobs in them.
That's fair.
Yeah, I thought that would help the sales pitch. Yeah.
The season is not over.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, are we Jim rating for the vote? I don't actually remember what we do at this point, or do we just?
We just discuss it. Just say what would you pick there, Stan?
Okay. Well, number three is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. I'm afraid that.
No. It is Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo, pays tribute to John Candy.
Not Jim Holy Candy?
Crap. John. I Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is the
How
whole
How long title. Do you think the titles are on iTunes?
I wanted to come up with the longest title we ever had. That's how I came up with the concept.
Well, and here's do often have the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo presents.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm okay. That's awesome. Awesome for your tremendous for the SEO and the search engine. There you go.
It's a brand. I like it.
Okay. That one's gonna be. I'm afraid Jim Candy is gonna get number three on my list. Let's see, number two. It's tough because, you know, the thing about Jim's actual pitch of the Beach Blanket Boogaloo, I like the title, I like the concept overall, but I feel like it's a tad disingenuous because I know that The Sand is going to be one of those movies. So.
What if I promised to probably not put The Sand in?
Then I'll put it in.
I would love that if you get called up before I do. That'd be awesome.
It's getting there for sure. I don't know. It's really hard between those two. So just I almost want you to gimmerate my decision, but I'm going to go with Jack's number one and Jim's number two.
Okay. Yeah, I guess we're going in a little bit of order here. You know, I like Stan's idea. I like the magic. I think we can squeeze in a Queen song into that one.
Mm-hmm.
My second choice would not be Jax. I found that pitch way too confusing. And I had a very confusing pitch myself, so that's saying something.
Well, is it that you found that you didn't like the pitch, or that you don't understand what we're doing?
Oh, I understand what we're doing. I just didn't. And
we're not. Actually, that's not what you're judging.
My God, Jack, are you trying to sneak in yours by saying that's what we're doing? No, we're not
that's
doing
not
that.
Not what we're doing. We're not always judging on the pitch. You're judging on the concept.
Yeah, I didn't like your pitch. I can vote. It's my vote. I can vote for whatever I want. I vote on the strength of the pitch, not the concept itself.
I should have for two number threes right now. What's your one and two?
This is painful.
What's your one and two?
Stan and then Jim.
Dan and then Jim. All right. Solid second place here.
All right, I got Stan's, then Jim's, then Nick's.
Well, let's make it Stan for me, and that that makes it a Stan season.
All right. Do you believe in magic? I am looking forward to this, and oh, I am so excited to be able to see. I watched 20 minutes of this movie, enough to know that it looks like a Boogaloo piece of crap that, you know, to dig out of the archives. So that's it's going to be a lot of fun with this upcoming season. Okay. Now I just, this is the point every time when this episode wraps up where it's just kind of like, oh, it's done.
I guess we're done, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have a good outro for this.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why I think we other than like business till the end.
If I asked you about a movie right now, would you like, you know, remember 4 episodes from now that I asked you about it? Just wonder if everyone's seen Xanadu.
I totally have seen Xanadu.
Dude, yeah, how do you know I was that was song was already running through my head.
As soon as he said magic, I like,
oh man, Xanadu. Oh yeah, well of course, because yeah.
Like he's sitting there, I think we can fit a Queen song in, and I'm yeah. like, dude, we can fit a Olivia Newton-John song in.
there's so magic is gonna bring up a lot of Boogaloo, I think.
There's a lot of directions to go with that. Yes. that's for sure
yeah. Well, I got a good ending for us. Copyright MCMLXVIII. just take a little bit of that Nielsen credits.
Yeah, song. That song's really catchy. Yeah. Yeah, especially once you're into the key grips. Yeah, get that out of your head.
Okay, well let's wrap up so that we can watch. Let's get ready for it. The incredibly strange creatures who stopped living and became mixed up zombies. We are getting ready for that. So, and now we got magic coming up. So for Jim and for Jack and for Nick, I am your host, Eighth Dan Stanadu, and thank you for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Criticize the way that the person wants to wear his hair, but in the overall analysis. is the only thing that counts is the magic and the love you share. Skittles, Skittles, the only thing that matters is with who you do. Skittles, Skittles, the only thing that matters is with
funny movie the other night. It is the gassiest, grooviest, swinginest, trippiest movie you've ever seen.
It's Otto Preminger's psychedelic trip,
The Living End.
It's a movie that kids will like.
While laughing,
they turn on the older generation, get them high. Can you imagine Groucho Marx being God?
Skittle, Skittle, the only thing that matters is with who you do. Skittle, Skittle, the only thing that matters is with who. Skidoo, I doodly-oo-doo, I do believe it really is the thing to do. Skidoo, Skidoo, between the one and three there is a two.
I think this movie is going to turn on the country.
Jackie Gleason was Tony Banks, Carol Channing Flo.
It's not odorless, colorless, and tasteless. As a matter of fact, it's Technicolor.
Frankie Avalon, MG, Fred Clark, a tower guard.
I laughed my head off. So if you see a man walking around without his head, that's me.
Michael Constantine Leach, Frank Ocean, the man.
The wildest trip anybody can ever take.
John Philip Law Stash, Peter Lawford, the senator.
Peter Lawford?
A real swinger.
Burgess Meredith, the warden.
Far out.
George Raft, the skipper. Cesar Romero was head chief.
Every young person in the country should turn on Mom and Dad by taking her to this movie.
Mickey Rooney, Blue Chips Packard.
It's a gas.
Groucho Marx played God in the Otto Preminger film Skidoodly-Doo-Doo-Doo.
Oh, and please, keep off the grass.
And introducing Austin Pendleton as Fred, Alexandra Hay as Darlene, and Luna as God's mistress. Well, you know what I mean.
Anybody that don't like that, Daddy, don't like chicken on Sunday.
It'll make you love better. It'll make you feel better. And it's even legal.
Man wasn't meant to fly. He wasn't meant to go up in the sky.
Man wasn't meant for such things.
If God wanted man to fly, we'd have wings.